Listening comprehension, text 1. Listen to the text about the Royal National Lifeboat Institution. In the first box in your booklet, there are numbers and dates from the text. Match these to the correct information in the second box. Mark your answers in the third box. You will hear the text twice. You now have 30 seconds to look through the items.
Rescue at Sea, the RNLI, by John Russell. O hear us when we cry to thee for those in peril on the sea. These words come from a famous hymn by William Whiting, Eternal Father Strong to Save. It is better known as the Naval Hymn, and is popular with many navies and lifeboat services around the globe. One of the first national lifeboat organisations in the world was founded in the UK in 1824. It was then called the National Institution for the Preservation of Life from Shipwreck. Today it is better known as the RNLI, the Royal National Lifeboat Institution. What is the RNLI? The RNLI is an organisation dedicated to the saving of people's lives at sea. If a boat is in difficulty less than 50 miles off the coast of Britain or the Republic of Ireland, the RNLI can send a lifeboat to rescue these people. It also provides lifeguard services in certain areas, making beaches safe for swimming. There are over 230 RNLI stations and almost 8,000 people were rescued in 2003 alone. Since its foundation in 1824 by Sir William Hillary, over 130,000 people have been rescued by the RNLI. Who pays for it? As a large, fully equipped lifeboat costs almost £2 million, and it takes over £200,000 a day to keep the service running, money is very important. It is surprising to learn that although the organisation saves so many lives, it is a charity and receives no money from the government. It is paid for completely through donations, legacies, and fundraising events. The first time public collecting boxes were officially used in Britain was for the RNLI back in 1891. Today, boat-shaped collection boxes can be found all around the country. Who runs it? As well as being a charity, the RNLI is run by volunteers. Almost 4,000 brave men and women risk their lives to help rescue others at sea. Most volunteers have normal jobs, which they must be ready to leave at a moment's notice if their lifeboat needs to be launched. Volunteers come from all walks of life. There is even a lifeboat service in South Wales manned completely by students at a local college, Atlantic College. They are mainly 17 and 18 years of age. And over the last 30 years, this service has saved over 100 lives. Fateful dates. 1886, the Mexico. The crew of a German boat, the Mexico, travelling off the northwest coast of England, needed rescuing in a storm. Three RNLI lifeboats went to the rescue, but the sea was so rough that only one reached the Mexico. One boat was hit by a large wave, and the other was never seen again. 27 lifeboat men died that day. 1979, Fastnet Race. On August the 11th, 1979, 303 yachts were competing in the biennial Fastnet Race, a 608-mile yacht race off the south coast of England. They were caught unexpectedly in a very bad storm, the worst for many years. Winds of over 60 miles an hour struck the boats, and many sank. 17 people drowned. It was the worst yachting disaster ever in the UK. Even more would have died without the help of the RNLI and other rescue boats. Safety procedures have improved since then. Racing yachts are more difficult to sink, and all must carry emergency radios. Accidents still happen, though. At a recent sailing event near the Isle of Wight, the Cowes Regatta, the RNLI launched more than 70 times to help or rescue people at sea. The event only lasted 1 week. Happily, no lives were lost on this occasion. Who is Captain Calamity? In an attempt to sail round Britain in a 4.5-metre boat, Mr. Stuart Hill had to be rescued 5 times by RNLI lifeboats and twice by helicopters in the summer of 2001. The papers at the time called him Captain Calamity. Similarly, in the year 2000, another sailor had to be rescued more than 5 times in the Irish Sea. He was using a road map for directions. Whatever the situation, whatever the weather, the work of the RNLI volunteers continues day and night, 365 days a year.
You now have 1 minute to do the items. Now listen to the same text again.
Rescue at Sea, the RNLI, by John Russell. O hear us when we cry to thee for those in peril on the sea. These words come from a famous hymn by William Whiting, Eternal Father Strong to Save. It is better known as the Naval Hymn and is popular with many navies and lifeboat services around the globe. One of the first national lifeboat organisations in the world was founded in the UK in 1824. It was then called the National Institution for the Preservation of Life from Shipwreck. Today it is better known as the RNLI, the Royal National Lifeboat Institution. What is the RNLI? The RNLI is an organisation dedicated to the saving of people's lives at sea. If a boat is in difficulty less than 50 miles off the coast of Britain or the Republic of Ireland, the RNLI can send a lifeboat to rescue these people. It also provides lifeguard services in certain areas, making beaches safe for swimming. There are over 230 RNLI stations and almost 8,000 people were rescued in 2003 alone. Since its foundation in 1824 by Sir William Hillary, over 130,000 people have been rescued by the RNLI. Who pays for it? As a large, fully equipped lifeboat costs almost £2 million, and it takes over £200,000 a day to keep the service running, money is very important. It is surprising to learn that although the organisation saves so many lives, it is a charity and receives no money from the government. It is paid for completely through donations, legacies, and fundraising events. The first time public collecting boxes were officially used in Britain was for the RNLI back in 1891. Today, boat-shaped collection boxes can be found all around the country. Who runs it? As well as being a charity, the RNLI is run by volunteers. Almost 4,000 brave men and women risk their lives to help rescue others at sea. Most volunteers have normal jobs, which they must be ready to leave at a moment's notice if their lifeboat needs to be launched. Volunteers come from all walks of life. There is even a lifeboat service in South Wales manned completely by students at a local college, Atlantic College. They are mainly 17 and 18 years of age. and over the last 30 years, this service has saved over 100 lives. Fateful dates. 1886, the Mexico. The crew of a German boat, the Mexico, travelling off the northwest coast of England, needed rescuing in a storm. Three RNLI lifeboats went to the rescue, but the sea was so rough that only one reached the Mexico. One boat was hit by a large wave, and the other was never seen again. 27 lifeboat men died that day. 1979, Fastnet Race. On August the 11th, 1979, 303 yachts were competing in the biennial Fastnet Race, a 608-mile yacht race off the south coast of England. They were caught unexpectedly in a very bad storm, the worst for many years. Winds of over 60 miles an hour struck the boats, and many sank. 17 people drowned. It was the worst yachting disaster ever in the UK. Even more would have died without the help of the RNLI and other rescue boats. Safety procedures have improved since then. Racing yachts are more difficult to sink, and all must carry emergency radios. Accidents still happen, though. At a recent sailing event near the Isle of Wight, the Cowes Regatta, the RNLI launched more than 70 times to help or rescue people at sea. The event only lasted 1 week. Happily, no lives were lost on this occasion. Who is Captain Calamity? In an attempt to sail round Britain in a 4.5-metre boat, Mr. Stuart Hill had to be rescued 5 times by RNLI lifeboats and twice by helicopters in the summer of 2001. The papers at the time called him Captain Calamity. Similarly, in the year 2000, another sailor had to be rescued more than 5 times in the Irish Sea. He was using a road map for directions. Whatever the situation, whatever the weather, the work of the RNLI volunteers continues day and night, 365 days a year.
You now have 1 minute to check your answers. Text 2. Listen to the text about some unusual festivals. In the first box on your booklet, there are 15 questions about the places mentioned in the text. In the second box, there are the names of the 13 of those places. Match the names to the questions. Some of the names refer to more than one question. Mark your answers in the third box. You will hear the text twice. You now have 45 seconds to look through the items.
Crazy festivals. There are many famous festivals around the world. The carnivals in Rio de Janeiro and Venice, Munich's Oktoberfest and London's Notting Hill Carnival are three examples. There are, however, festivals going on somewhere in the world every day of the year. These range from very large events, which involve whole cities, to local celebrations in tiny villages or neighbourhoods of towns or cities. We have selected a few of the more unusual, colourful festivals from around the world.
Australia Day Cockroach Races, Brisbane, Queensland, Australia. Racing is simple. The races are held in a circular track and roaches are then let go from an upturned bucket in the middle. First to the edge is a winner. Things are made a little more difficult in the steeplechase events, where a circular fence, garden hose, is used to enhance the spectacle and test the roach talent.
Canberra Sled Dog Classic, Canberra, Australian Capital Territory, Australia. Dog sledding is one of the fastest growing sports on the east coast of Australia. As there's no snow, the trail is earth and sand and is smooth and wide with a few hills and turns, the sleds have wheels instead of runners, but the excitement is the same.
Darwin Beer Can Regatta, Darwin, Northern Territory, Australia. This local charity event brings together great engineers and great drinkers. Participants construct everything from life-size beer can canoes to beer can Viking warships, complete with fire hoses, during this off-the-wall regatta.
Festival of Snakes, Abruzzo, Italy. Each year in the tiny hamlet of Cuculo, surrounded by some of Italy's most undomesticated forests, the villagers prove their devotion by getting down and dirty with as many fork-tongued reptiles as they can.
Henley-on-Todd Regatta, Alice Springs, Northern Territory, Australia. This multi-event programme attracts many local and international participants from the audience, who often finish up on World TV News paddling canoes with sand shovels and in landlubber events like filling empty 44-gallon drums with sand. The Henley-on-Todd is run entirely on a volunteer basis by the three rotary clubs based in the Alice. The entire proceeds, over $1 million in the 30-plus years of the event, are allocated to local, national and international humanitarian projects.
International Cherry Pit Spitting Contest, Eau Claire, Miami, USA. A nutritious sport. Is there a better way to dispose of the pit once you have eaten the cherry? Entrants eat a cherry and then spit the pit as far as possible on a blacktop surface. The pit that goes the farthest, including the roll, is the champ.
Interstate Mullet Toss, Pensacola, Florida, USA. Pensacola locals and tourists alike have been trying to perfect the art of mullet tossing for more than 15 years. OK, so what exactly is a mullet? A mullet is a bottom-feeding saltwater fish that people go nuts about every April. Competitors from far and wide come to the Florida and Alabama border town for this head-to-head competition to see who, while standing on the Florida side, can toss the 1.5-pound fish into the Alabama side the farthest. Prizes are awarded and all entries receive a free T-shirt exclaiming, "Dear Ma, thanks for the college education." More than 300 pounds of mullet are used each year. Sounds like a lot of fish? They are recycled. After contestants throw their fish, they must retrieve it, and if it's not too mangled, they put it back in the bucket. Other festivities include the Mullet Man Triathlon, Mullet Swing Golf Classic, Ms. Mullet Bikini Contest, a wet T-shirt contest, volleyball, skeet shooting, a keg toss, three bandstands, and seven bar stations.
La Tomatina, Buñol, Spain. The tomato battle is in honour of St. Luis Beltran, the patron saint of Buñol. Residents and visitors take part in a tomato-throwing battle that decimates more than 88,000 pounds of tomatoes. This wacky event began with a serious aim as a symbolic protest against Franco. but the tomatina is now firmly entrenched as an amusing way to end the summer.
Mighty Mud Mania, Scottsdale, Arizona, USA. Children's dreams really do come true in the city of Scottsdale. Children aged 1 to 13 get to participate in a mud race to end all mud races. During the running of the Mighty Mud Obstacle Course, several mud pits strategically placed provide wet and really dirty obstacles as kids compete for the fastest time in each heat. There are also mud puddle pools for the tiny tots and a mini mud course for those 6 and younger. In addition, Mighty Mudway features water and mud games. There are also water slides, sandcastle buildings and fun for all ages. Mums and dads, remember to send your kids out with old clothes and shoes that lace up or Velcro closures. And have no fear. Rural Metro Fire Department is on hand to literally hose down the muddy children.
Songkran Festival, Thailand. What better way to celebrate the start of the return of rains than with a countrywide water fight? Thai celebrate their festival officially from April the 13th until April the 15th. These 3 days represent the last day of the old year, the day of transition, and the first day of the new year. These are days of cleaning the houses and the body, days of merrymaking and renewal. Nothing evil has to be taken into the new year. Formerly, one sprinkled or spilled a bit of scented water over the hands or shoulders of elders and friends to ask them forgiveness for coarse or wicked speaking. But in modern times, these traditions, which still are held in family celebrations, are hidden behind water battles fought out for days in the streets of every town and city over the country.
The New Straits Times Million Ringgit Charity Duck Race, Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. 13 years ago, Eric Schechter and his friends were brainstorming to find new ways of raising money for local charities when they came up with the idea of rubber duck races. The event, crazy as it may sound, involves racing cool rubber ducks down a local waterway and having members of the community adopt the ducks for a chance to win valuable donated prizes, possibly even $1 million.
Wife carrying World Championships, Sonkajärvi, Finland. The idea of the wife carrying competition is Sonkajärvi's very own, and in spite of its humorous aspects, it has deep roots in the local history. In the late 1800s, there was in the area a brigand called Rosvo Ronkanen, who was said to have accepted in his troops only those men who proved their worth on a challenging track. In those days, it was also a common practice to steal women from the neighbouring villages.
World Bog Snorkeling Championships and Mountain Bike Bog Leaping, Llanortid Wells, Wales. It's the muckiest dip you've ever taken. Swim 2 lengths of a bog wearing a snorkel, or jump on a mountain bike and leap the bogs over a 20-mile course. If bog snorkeling's your game, get ready to flounder your way through 120 yards of peat bog in the quickest possible time. Your attire? A snorkel and flippers, of course. And maybe some swim trunks. And you can't use any conventional swimming strokes. This battle of wills in a dirty, smelly, wet Welsh peat bog trench is not for the faint of heart. If you'd rather be above the bog, though there's no guarantee you won't end up in it, try taking your mountain bike through 20 miles of boggy terrain in the bog leaping event. It's your chance to show off your bike-in-a-bog manoeuvring abilities. Following your adventures, kind folks are on hand to hose you down. Goodness knows you'll need it. Happy bogging!
You now have 1 minute to do the items. Now listen to the same text again.
Crazy festivals. There are many famous festivals around the world. The carnivals in Rio de Janeiro and Venice, Munich's Oktoberfest and London's Notting Hill Carnival are three examples. There are, however, festivals going on somewhere in the world every day of the year. These range from very large events, which involve whole cities, to local celebrations in tiny villages or neighbourhoods of towns or cities. We have selected a few of the more unusual, colourful festivals from around the world.
Australia Day Cockroach Races, Brisbane, Queensland, Australia. Racing is simple. The races are held in a circular track and roaches are then let go from an upturned bucket in the middle. First to the edge is a winner. Things are made a little more difficult in the steeplechase events, where a circular fence, garden hose, is used to enhance the spectacle and test the roach talent.
Canberra Sled Dog Classic, Canberra, Australian Capital Territory, Australia. Dog sledding is one of the fastest growing sports on the east coast of Australia. As there's no snow, the trail is earth and sand and is smooth and wide with a few hills and turns, the sleds have wheels instead of runners, but the excitement is the same.
Darwin Beer Can Regatta, Darwin, Northern Territory, Australia. This local charity event brings together great engineers and great drinkers. Participants construct everything from life-size beer can canoes to beer can Viking warships, complete with fire hoses, during this off-the-wall regatta.
Festival of Snakes, Abruzzo, Italy. Each year in the tiny hamlet of Cuculo, surrounded by some of Italy's most undomesticated forests, the villagers prove their devotion by getting down and dirty with as many fork-tongued reptiles as they can.
Henley-on-Todd Regatta, Alice Springs, Northern Territory, Australia. This multi-event program attracts many local and international participants from the audience, who often finish up on World TV News paddling canoes with sand shovels and in landlubber events like filling empty 44-gallon drums with sand. The Henley-on-Todd is run entirely on a volunteer basis by the three rotary clubs based in the Alice. The entire proceeds, over $1 million in the 30-plus years of the event, are allocated to local, national and international humanitarian projects.
International Cherry Pit Spitting Contest, Eau Claire, Miami, USA. A nutritious sport. Is there a better way to dispose of the pit once you have eaten the cherry? Entrants eat a cherry and then spit the pit as far as possible on a blacktop surface. The pit that goes the farthest, including the roll, is the champ.
Interstate Mullet Toss, Pensacola, Florida, USA. Pensacola locals and tourists alike have been trying to perfect the art of mullet tossing for more than 15 years. OK, so what exactly is a mullet? A mullet is a bottom-feeding saltwater fish that people go nuts about every April. Competitors from far and wide come to the Florida and Alabama border town for this head-to-head competition to see who, while standing on the Florida side, can toss the 1.5-pound fish into the Alabama side the farthest. Prizes are awarded and all entries receive a free T-shirt exclaiming, "Dear Ma, thanks for the college education." More than 300 pounds of mullet are used each year. Sounds like a lot of fish? They are recycled. After contestants throw their fish, they must retrieve it, and if it's not too mangled, they put it back in the bucket. Other festivities include the Mullet Man Triathlon, Mullet Swing Golf Classic, Ms. Mullet Bikini Contest, a wet t-shirt contest, volleyball, skeet shooting, a keg toss, three bandstands, and seven bar stations.
La Tomatina, Buñol, Spain. The tomato battle is in honour of Saint Luis Beltran, the patron saint of Buñol. Residents and visitors take part in a tomato-throwing battle that decimates more than 88,000 pounds of tomatoes. This wacky event began with a serious aim as a symbolic protest against Franco. But the tomatina is now firmly entrenched as an amusing way to end the summer.
Mighty Mud Mania, Scottsdale, Arizona, USA. Children's dreams really do come true in the city of Scottsdale. Children aged 1 to 13 get to participate in a mud race to end all mud races. During the running of the Mighty Mud Obstacle Course, several mud pits strategically placed provide wet and really dirty obstacles as kids compete for the fastest time in each heat. There are also mud puddle pools for the tiny tots and a mini mud course for those 6 and younger. In addition, Mighty Mudway features water and mud games. There are also water slides, sandcastle buildings and fun for all ages. Mums and dads, remember to send your kids out with old clothes and shoes that lace up or Velcro closures. And have no fear. Rural Metro Fire Department is on hand to literally hose down the muddy children.
Songkran Festival, Thailand. What better way to celebrate the start of the return of rains than with a country-wide water fight? Thais celebrate their festival officially from April the 13th until April the 15th. These 3 days represent the last day of the old year, the day of transition, and the first day of the new year. These are days of cleaning the houses and the body, days of merrymaking and renewal. Nothing evil has to be taken into the new year. Formerly, one sprinkled or spilled a bit of scented water over the hands or shoulders of elders and friends to ask them forgiveness for coarse or wicked speaking. But in modern times, these traditions, which still are held in family celebrations, are hidden behind water battles fought out for days in the streets of every town and city over the country.
The New Straits Times Million Ringgit Charity Duck Race, Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. 13 years ago, Eric Schechter and his friends were brainstorming to find new ways of raising money for local charities when they came up with the idea of rubber duck races. The event, crazy as it may sound, involves racing cool rubber ducks down a local waterway and having members of the community adopt the ducks for a chance to win valuable donated prizes, possibly even $1 million.
Wife Carrying World Championships, Sonkajärvi, Finland. The idea of the wife carrying competition is Sonkajärvi's very own, and in spite of its humorous aspects, it has deep roots in the local history. In the late 1800s, there was in the area a brigand called Rosvo Ronkanen, who was said to have accepted in his troops only those men who proved their worth on a challenging track. In those days, it was also a common practice to steal women from the neighbouring villages.
World Bog Snorkeling Championships and Mountain Bike Bog Leaping, Llanortid Wells, Wales. It's the muckiest dip you've ever taken. Swim 2 lengths of a bog wearing a snorkel, or jump on a mountain bike and leap the bogs over a 20-mile course. If bog snorkeling's your game, get ready to flounder your way through 120 yards of peat bog in the quickest possible time. Your attire? A snorkel and flippers, of course. And maybe some swim trunks. And you can't use any conventional swimming strokes. This battle of wills in a dirty, smelly, wet Welsh peat bog trench is not for the faint of heart. If you'd rather be above the bog, though there's no guarantee you won't end up in it, try taking your mountain bike through 20 miles of boggy terrain in the bog leaping event. It's your chance to show off your bike-in-a-bog manoeuvring abilities. Following your adventures, kind folks are on hand to hose you down. Goodness knows you'll need it. Happy bogging!
You now have 1 minute to check your answers. You have 2 minutes to transfer all your answers to your answer sheet. This is the end of the listening comprehension section.